Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Alhamdulillah, for over a decade, Qalam has had the opportunity and the blessing to serve the community. And after serving the community for an entire decade and benefiting millions of people all around the world, we have reaffirmed our commitment to making Islamic knowledge accessible for all, making sure each and every single person, no matter where they are in the world, they have the ability and the opportunity to learn about the beauty of Islam. So therefore, we are conducting more classes online than ever before, videos, podcasts, recordings, we're making all of it available. We ask you to support us and become our partner in this mission and cause of educating the whole world about the beautiful religion of Islam by going to supportqalam.com. Go to supportqalam.com, make a generous contribution. Inshallah, you are investing into the mission and the cause of teaching people about Islam worldwide. Millions of people have benefited, and we hope that hundreds of millions more will benefit, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I want to welcome everyone once again to our nightly program here in the blessed month of Ramadan, where we read, we recite, and we reflect upon the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, inshallah, we are joined by our student at the Qalam Seminary, mashallah, one of our very dear beloved students, Hafiz Ahmed Rahmani. Mashallah, he is a Hafiz of the Quran, someone who has been teaching, actually, the Qur'an for a number of years and is also, mashallah, a student of knowledge. So, alhamdulillah, we're very happy to have him here with us once again to recite for us the 18th juz of the Qur'an. Before we get started, once again, I want to remind everyone to contribute and to donate generously. Our partners during the activities and the programs of this month, HHRD, Helping Hand for Relief and Development, is, mashallah, a really remarkable organization that has been doing remarkable work all around the world for a very long time, mashallah. They have the highest of ratings and credentials in terms of a charity organization. They've been certified and licensed by a number of different organizations that certify charity organizations, and they've been working very, very hard for a very long time. And during this month of Ramadan, they're working even harder, and the crisis that has afflicted the whole world, HHRD, mashallah, has continued to strive very hard to take care of our brothers and sisters in need. Please go to hhrd.org, go to their website, give your zakat, give your fidya, give your sadaqatul fitr, give your charity and your donations, and inshallah, be a part of the good that is going on a global scale. And once again, alhamdulillah, on behalf of Qalam, we're very happy to bring you this program, and we'll be beginning with the 18th juz of the Qur'an. A little bit about the 18th juz, and then inshallah we'll commence with the recitation by Hafiz Ahmed. The 18th juz of the Qur'an contains 202 verses. It consists of the entirety of Surah Al-Mu'minun, Surah number 23, which has 118 ayat. It then has the entirety of Surah number 24, Surah An-Nur, which has 64 verses. And then it contains the beginning portion of Surah number 25, Surah Al-Furqan, the first 20 verses of Surah Al-Furqan. So in total, that accumulates to 202 verses that we'll be covering here in the 18th juz of the Qur'an. To start off our recitation, and the way I like to approach this is I share with you some of the thoughts that are and some of the reflections and the meaning that is going to come up in the page as Hafiz Ahmed is going to recite it for us, so that as you're listening to the recitation and looking at the translation on the screen, you are also able to reflect upon what we talked about. The beginning part of this juz and this surah is very powerful. It contains a passage, the first 11 verses, which the illustrious companion of the Prophet ﷺ, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, said, whoever reads these verses, understands these verses, and is able to live in accordance with these verses, that person has been guaranteed here in the Quran the eternal, highest levels of eternal success in the life of the hereafter, Jannat al-Firdaus A'la, the highest stages of paradise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that success has been achieved by the believers. And Allah tells us their qualities and characteristics. Right off the bat, that tells us that the status and the virtue of a human being does not depend upon their race or their ethnicity or their color or their external appearance. Assalamu alaikum. Sorry about that, everyone. We had a little bit of a technical difficulty there, but inshallah, we should be back online. So as I was saying, the beginning of the 18th juz here talks about the qualities and characteristics of the believers. And the very first thing that tells us is that the virtue and the status of a human being does not depend on these kind of superficial external things, but it is about their qualities and their characteristics and their faith and their iman and their practice of their Islam. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala details their qualities to us. He says, number one, they have quality and focus within their prayer, khushu in their salah. Number two, that they avoid things that do not concern them, vain, unnecessary indulgences. They avoid those types of things. Number three, they give charity in the way of Allah. Number four, that they have dignity and modesty and decency and morality, and they do not engage in sins of a sexual nature, that they only engage in intimate conduct, physical intimate conduct within the bounds of marriage, and they do not go outside the bounds of marriage. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that they, when they are trusted with something, you can count on them to be trustworthy. When they make a promise and give their word to you, you can count that they will live up to their promise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, along with having quality within their prayers and having khushu in their salah, they also maintain the timings of the prayers. They also observe the timings of the five times daily prayers. And Allah says that if they can practice all of this and work towards all of this, they will receive the greatest blessing, and that is the highest stages of paradise, al-firdaus, hum fiha khalidun, and they will be therein for all of eternity. With that, inshallah, we now begin the recitation.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون والذين هم على صلواتهم يحافظون أولئك هم الوارثون الذين يرثون الفردوس هم فيها خالدون ولقد خلقنا الإنسان من سلالة من طين ثم جعلناه نطفة في قرار مكين ثم خلقنا النطفة علقة فخلقنا العلقة مضغة فخلقنا المضغة عظاما فكسونا العظام لحما ثم أنشأناه خلقا آخر فتبارك الله أحسن الخالقين ثم إنكم بعد ذلك لميتون ثم إنكم يوم القيامة تبعثون ولقد خلقنا فوقكم سبع طرائق وما كنا عن الخلق غافلين.
In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon human beings and upon all of us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to reflect upon those blessings. There are so many things that we interact with on a daily basis, but we don't really quite reflect on it and understand how blessed we are by Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a very simple example, but at the same time, very profound and beautiful. He says that these livestock, like cows and sheep and goats, this cattle that we have, that we take for granted, Allah says, look at what a profound blessing and realization there lies within it, that we are able to give you something to drink from that cow. And then there are so many other benefits that come to you from that cow, that you're able to use it to pull, you know, you're able to use it for different tasks and for using it around the farm and for agricultural purposes. ومنها تأكلون, and then finally, you're able to consume in that animal and eat the meat of that animal. So while that animal is alive, you get milk from that animal, you're able to utilize that animal in agricultural farming settings, and then finally, when the time comes, you're able to slaughter that animal and able to derive food and meat from that animal as well. Something so simple, but yet at the same time so profound. And if we stopped and looked at every little thing in our lives, we would see so many layers upon layers of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala staring us in the face all around us all the time.
وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً بِقَدَرٍ فَأَسْكَنَّاهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِنَّا عَلَى ذَهَابٍ بِهِ لَقَادِرُونَ فَأَنشَأْنَا لَكُمْ بِهِ جَنَّاتٍ مِّن نَخِيلٍ وَأَعْنَابٍ لكم فيها فواكه كثيرة ومنها تأكلون وشجرة تخرج من طور سيناء تنبت بالدهن وصبغ للآكلين وإن لكم في الأنعام لعبرة نسقيكم مما في بطونها ولكم فيها منافع كثيرة ومنها تأكلون وعليها وعلى الفلك تحملون ولقد أرسلنا نوحا إلى قومه فقال يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره أفلا تتقون فقال الملأ الذين كفروا من قومه ما هذا إلا بشر مثلكم يريد أن يتفضل عليكم ولو شاء الله لأنزل ملائكة ما سمعنا ذا في آبائنا الأولين إن هو إلا رجل به جنة فتربصوا به حتى حين قال رب انصرني بما كذبون فأوحينا إليه أن اصنع الفلك بأعيننا ووحينا فإذا جاء أمرنا وفارت النور فاسلك فيها من كل زوجين اثنين وأهلك إلا من سبق عليه القول منهم ولا تخاطبني في الذين ظلموا إنهم مغرقون.
In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while telling us the story of Nuh alayhi salam, which we've spoken about in previous ajza, in previous portions of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam in the aftermath of the flooding of the entire earth and when the water finally recedes and it is now time for them to go and re-inhabit the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam a very beautiful dua. And this is known as one of the du'as within the Quran. And this is a very powerful dua that all of us should learn and that we can make that asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide us a very good, safe and healthy and fruitful residence upon the earth, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches the dua, my Lord, let me land with your blessing. You are the best one to bring us to land. That O Allah, provide me the most blessed place to live, and you indeed are the best of the arrangers of residence. You are the best one who can arrange residence for me. So Allah, provide me a place of blessing to live. And there's kind of a note therein that a lot of times, once again, when we talk about residences and where we live, we get caught up in superficial things and status symbols and things of that nature. But what really matters is what is the nature of the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where you live. You might live in a very small, humble place, but if it is blessed by Allah, then it will be a very blessed place. You could live in the fanciest place, the largest residence, but if it is devoid of the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will find no tranquility and no peace therein. Always ask Allah to bless our homes with barakah and the blessing of Allah.
فإذا استويت أنت ومن معك على الفلك فقل الحمد لله الذي نجانا من القوم الظالمين وقل رب أنزلني منزلا مباركا وأنت خير المنزلين إن في ذلك لآيات وإن كنا لمبتلين ثم أنشأنا من بعدهم قرنا آخرين فأرسلنا فيهم رسولا منهم أن اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره أفلا تتقون وقال الملأ من قومه الذين كفروا وكذبوا بلقاء الآخرة وأترفناهم في الحياة الدنيا ما هذا إلا بشر مثلكم يأكل مما تأكلون منه ويشرب مما تشربون ولئن أطعتم بشرا مثلكم إنكم إذا لخاسرون أيعدكم أنكم إذا متم وكنتم ترابا وعظاما أنكم مخرجون هيهات هيهات لما توعدون إن هي إلا حياتنا الدنيا نموت ونحيا وما نحن بمبعوثين إن هو إلا رجل افترى على الله كذبا وما نحن له بمؤمنين قال رب انصرني بما كذبون قال عما قليل ليصبحن نادمين فأخذتهم الصيحة بالحق فجعلناهم غثاء فبعدا للقوم الظالمين ثم أنشأنا من بعدهم قرونا آخرين.
In the following passage, in the following page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to tell us about the nations of the past and some of the critical errors made by the people of the past. And in advising us to avoid those same pitfalls and errors made by people before us, because as the Prophet ﷺ tells us, As-sa'idu man wa'idha bi ghayrihi, that the fortunate and the blessed one is who learns from others' mistakes and does not make those same mistakes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida, that this community, this ummah of yours, this Muslim community of yours, you are one singular, unified community. Wa ana rabbukum fattaqun. And Allah says that He, Allah, is our Lord, so we should be conscious only of Him and be mindful of Him constantly. And that by connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the glue, that is the force that binds us together. And the more we connect to Allah, the more we commit to Allah, the more we will become unified with one another. But then Allah warns us, what mistake not to make? He says, فَتَقَطَّعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ زُبْرًا. That... But don't be like the people that came before you because they divided themselves up. They fractured and broke into different parts and groups. كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. And then they all celebrate whatever little kind of corner they have carved out for themselves. They're so happy with that little corner and they celebrate that little corner. No. Find the power that is present within unifying the community of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let us always focus on the things that brings us together and never ever feed and fuel the fire that tears us apart.
ما تسبق من أمة أجلها وما يستأخرون ثم أرسلنا رسلنا تترى كلما جاء أمة رسولها كذبوه فأتبعنا بعضهم بعضا وجعلناهم أحاديث فبعدا لقوم لا يؤمنون ثم أرسلنا موسى وأخاه هارون بآياتنا وسلطان مبين إلى فرعون وملئه فاستكبروا وكانوا قوما عالين فقالوا أنؤمن لبشرين مثلنا وقومهما لنا عابدون فكذبوهما فكانوا من المهلكين ولقد آتينا موسى الكتاب لعلهم يهتدون وجعلنا ابن مريم وأمه آية وآويناهما إلى ربوة ذات قرار ومعين يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات واعملوا صالحا إني بما تعملون عليم وَإِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاتَّقُونَ فَتَقَطَّعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ زُبُرًا كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ فَذَرْهُمْ فِي غَمْرَتِهِمْ حَتَّى حِينَ أَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّمَا نُمِدُّهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ مَالٍ وَبَنِينَ نُسَارِعُ لَهُمْ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ بَلْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ إن الذين هم من خشية ربهم مشفقون والذين هم بآيات ربهم يؤمنون والذين هم بربهم لا يشركون.
In the next page, from the bottom of the at the end of the page that we just concluded, and going into the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again tells us about people who excel in doing good. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the people who excel in doing good are those people who are mindful and fearful of their Lord. And I know that a lot of times people feel uneasy when we talk about the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there is a level of reverence and respect and this understanding of the consequences in disobeying and disappointing our Lord and our Rabb and not obeying Him. So they are mindful and fearful of their Lord, and they believe in the signs of their Lord. They never ever dare associate any partners to their Lord. And then a very important quality and characteristic that Allah tells us about in the next page we're going to read is that these are people who give charity. They donate money. They contribute to good, noble causes. But that's not enough. When they don't, like we talked about in the beginning of the chapter, people who pray, but they have quality and khushu' and focus in their prayer. Similarly, people who give and donate, but when they give and donate, they don't think that they're doing anyone a favor. They don't walk around with their head held up high, showing off and boasting about the fact that they are so generous and they are so kind and giving, but rather whenever they donate, no matter how much they donate, their hearts are always humbled before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are always thinking about the fact that I have to go and I have to stand in front of my Lord and I have to answer for how I've lived my life. So this contribution, no matter how sizable it may be, it is just a humble offering that I pray and I hope brings me some of the mercy and the benevolence of my Lord. Allah says when people operate with this kind of a mindset, they are the people who strive ahead and who succeed in doing good. And they are the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala congratulates as the ones who have moved ahead in righteousness.
وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ أولئك يسارعون في الخيرات وهم لها سابقون ولا نكلف نفسا إلا وسعها ولدينا كتاب ينطق بالحق وهم لا يظلمون بل قلوبهم في غمرة من هذا ولهم أعمال من دون ذلك هم لها عاملون حتى إذا أخذنا مترفيهم بالعذاب إذا هم يجأرون لا تجأروا اليوم إنكم منا لا تنصرون قد كانت آياتي تتلى عليكم فكنتم على أعقابكم تنكصون مستكبرين به سامرا تهجرون أفلم يدبروا القول أم جاءهم ما لم يأت آباءهم الأولين أم لم يعرفوا رسولهم فهم له منكرون أم يقولون به جنة بل جاءهم بالحق وأكثرهم للحق كارهون ولو اتبع الحق أهواءهم لفسدت السماوات والأرض ومن فيهن بل أتيناهم بذكرهم فهم عن ذكرهم معرضون أم تسألهم خرجا فخراج ربك خير وهو خير الرازقين وإنك لتدعوهم إلى صراط مستقيم وإن الذين لا يؤمنون بالآخرة عن الصراط لناكبون.
In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to us about how to cultivate and develop faith and belief in iman. How to build your iman. How to strengthen your iman. How to increase your iman. A question we all have. How do I become stronger in my belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. He says that, وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ He is the one who made for you the ability to hear, the ability to see, and the ability to feel and think. قَلِيلًا مَّا تَشْكُرُونَ Then why are you so ungrateful? Why are you so rarely ever grateful? And then he says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي ذَرَأَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ He's the one who spread you out within the earth, and to him will you be gathered again. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ And he is the one who gives life and who takes life, who gives death. وَلَهُ اخْتِلَافُ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ And he is the one who controls the alternating of day and night. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ Do you not think? Do you not reflect? And right there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the two exercises that cultivate and build your iman and your faith. Just like whenever you want to develop anything, there's a particular exercise, there's a particular discipline, there's a particular routine you have to follow in order to build some kind of capacity. Allah tells us, you want to build your iman, number one, practice gratitude. How do you practice gratitude? How do you exercise gratitude? Sit and think and reflect every single day on a daily basis about all the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you have in your life. Every day, wake up and make a brand new list of three things that you are grateful for. And do it as an actual exercise. There's nothing menial about that. There's nothing corny or cheesy about that. That is a very real exercise. And when you do that, you will start to become more and more grateful to Allah. And that's iman. And the second thing is أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. You have to start now learning about your religion, understanding your deen. Read the Qur'an. Learn the meaning of the Qur'an like we're doing over here. And you got to maintain a regular practice of that. It can be very little, but it's got to be consistent. Every day I'm going to read a couple of verses and the translation of a couple of verses. And by developing gratitude and by starting to engage with your religion, understand your religion, those two things will come together, spirituality and knowledge, and that right there will build your iman. And then you will be able to taste the sweetness of faith, inshallah.
وَلَوْ رَحِمْنَاهُمْ وَكَشَفْنَا مَا بِهِمْ مِنْ ضُرٍ لَلَجُّوا فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ وَلَقَدْ أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْعَذَابِ فَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ وَمَا يَتَضَرَّعُونَ حتى إذا فتحنا عليهم بابا ذا عذاب شديد إذا هم فيه مبلسون وهو الذي أنشأ لكم السمع والأبصار والأفئدة قليلا ما تشكرون وهو الذي ذرأكم في الأرض وإليه تحشرون وهو الذي يحيي ويميت وله اختلاف الليل والنهار أفلا تعقلون بل قالوا مثل ما قال الأولون قالوا أإذا متنا وكنا ترابا وعظاما أإنا لمبعوثون لقد وعدنا نحن وآباؤنا هذا من قبل إن هذا إلا أساطير الأولين قل لمن الأرض ومن فيها إن كنتم تعلمون سيقولون لله قل أفلا تذكرون قل من رب السماوات السبع ورب العرش العظيم سيقولون لله قل أفلا تتقون قل من بيده ملكوت كل شيء وهو يجير ولا يجار عليه إن كنتم تعلمون سيقولون لله قل فأنى تسحرون.
On the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about something that is very heavy, but something that we do have to think about and reflect upon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if we do not heed this advice, if we do not listen to what the Quran is telling us, if we do not follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we don't take all of this seriously, then what does the end scenario look like? Allah tells us very vividly and graphically. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if somebody did not take all this seriously, then when death comes to them, they will cry out to their Lord. They will cry out to Allah, "My Lord, my Lord, please return me back. Give me more time." Why? لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ. So that all the opportunities to do good that I missed and overlooked and did not care about and neglected, I can go back and just do a little bit of good. I can pray once. I can read some Quran. I can make some dhikr. I can give some charity. I can give some donation. I can just do one good deed. Just one. Give me that much time. A split second to do one good deed. I was very neglectful. And they'll be told, "Kalla." They'll be told, "No, that is not a possibility. إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا." That is not happening. This matter has already been decreed. And beyond them awaits the life of the hereafter and the day of resurrection when they will be accounted for. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us all to make the most of the opportunity we have in this life, in this world. This life is precious. This time is very valuable. Let's try to do as much good as we can so that we do not face that kind of regret. Hasra, Allah calls it, lament, regret, deep-rooted pain and agony that we could have done better. Let us strive to do whatever we can in the time that we do have.
بَلْ أَتَيْنَاهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ مَا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ مِنْ وَلَدٍ وَمَا كَانَ مَعَهُ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ إِذَا لَذَهَبَ كُلُّ إِلَٰهٍ بِمَا خَلَقَ وَلَعَلَى بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ فَتَعَالَى عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ قُلْ رَبِّ إِمَّا تُرِيَنِّي مَا يُوعَدُونَ رَبِّ فَلَا تَجْعَلْنِي فِي الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ وَإِنَّ عَلَىٰ أَن نُرِيَكَ مَا نَعِدُهُمْ لَقَادِرُونَ ادْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ السَّيِّئَةَ نَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَصِفُونَ وَقُلْ رَبِّ أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ هَمَزَاتِ الشَّيَاطِينِ وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ رَبِّ أَنْ يَحْضُرُونَ حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتُ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونِ لعلي أعمل صالحا فيما تركت كلا إنها كلمة هو قائلها ومن ورائهم برزخ إلى يوم يبعثون فإذا نفخ في الصور فلا أنساب بينهم يومئذ ولا يتساءلون فمن ثقلت موازينه فأولئك هم المفلحون ومن خفت موازينه فأولئك الذين خسروا أنفسهم في جهنم خالدون تلفح وجوههم النار وهم فيها كالحون.
On the next page, it is the concluding page of the first surah here in the 18th juz, Surah Al-Mu'minun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuing with that same theme of the afterlife. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that on the day of judgment, on the day of resurrection, the day of accountability, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when people will stand before God and be reckoned by Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to them, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا? Did you really actually think? Did you assume that we created you pointlessly, without purpose, without meaning, without objective, without some kind of a goal? وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ? And you really were under the assumption that you would not come back to us and return back to us? What a grave error. And what we need to understand from that, being alive and reading that in the Quran now, understand the blessing the Quran is. The Quran is telling us the worst case scenario, what could go wrong, so that we can avoid it now. So the first thing we need to realize here is that we are not pointless and we are not purposeless and we do not have a meaningless existence, but we have purpose and meaning and objective in our existence. And that is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to live a life of obedience to Allah, to bring good about in the world that we live in. وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. And the second point we need to be mindful of is, always live with the consciousness of the fact that at the end of the day, this whole story ends with me standing in front of Allah. And I got to answer to Allah for what I've done. Will I be perfect? No, I'm human. I'm human, so I can't be perfect. But I can work hard, I can try hard, and I can be sincere, and I can ask for forgiveness when I mess up. And then I can rest assured on the fact that my Lord is indeed very, very merciful. As Allah says in the very last verse of the surah, وَقُلْ and say, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ, my Lord, forgive, وَارْحَمْ and have mercy, وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ, because you are the best of all those capable of having mercy. So we pray for His forgiveness, we pray for His mercy, but we will try hard, we will work hard, and we will strive hard. InshaAllah, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى.
أَلَمْ تَكُنْ آيَاتِي تُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَكُنْتُمْ بِهَا تُكَذِّبُونَ قَالُوا رَبَّنَا غَلَبَتْ عَلَيْنَا شِقْوَتُنَا وَكُنَّا قَوْمًا ضَالِّينَ ربنا أخرجنا منها فإن عدنا فإنا ظالمون قال اخسأوا فيها ولا تكلمون إنه كان فريق من عبادي يقولون ربنا آمنا فاغفر لنا وارحمنا وأنت خير الراحمين فاتخذتموهم سخريا حتى أنسوكم ذكري وكنتم منهم تضحكون إني جزيتهم اليوم بما صبروا أنهم هم الفائزون قال كم لبثتم في الأرض عدد سنين قالوا لبثنا يوما أو بعض يوم فاسأل العادين قال إن لبثتم إلا قليلا لو أنكم كنتم تعلمون أفحسبتم أنما خلقناكم عبثا وأنكم إلينا لا ترجعون فتعالى الله الملك الحق لا إله إلا هو رب العرش الكريم ومن يدع مع الله إلها آخر لا برهان له به فإنما حسابه عند ربه إنه لا يفلح الكافرون وقل رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين.
We now will be beginning and starting Surah An-Nur, Surah number 24. This is a later Medinan surah in which there are many of the rules and regulations pertaining to the matters of decency, morality, and dignity of the individuals and the community at large. In the very first page here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about some very serious crimes and some very serious sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about them in a very harsh manner, that they have very serious consequences in the life of this world and serious consequences in the life of the hereafter. And two of the main things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outlined here is, number one, the crime and the immorality of fornication and adultery, that engaging in sexual misconduct, sexual behavior, sexual conduct outside the bounds of proper marriage. And number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also speaks about the very severe crime of slander. Slandering people and accusing people of wrongdoing in this regard without any kind of evidence and proof. And these are both very, very severe things. Because zina, fornication and adultery, it compromises the morality of the community. And slandering people without proof and evidence, it compromises the dignity of the community. And both of these are deeply problematic.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Suratun anzalnaha wa faradnaha wa anzalna fiha ayatin bayyinatin la'allakum tadhakkarun. Az-zaniyatu waz-zani fajlidu kulla wahidin minhuma mi'ata jaldah. ولا تأخذكم بهما رأفة في دين الله إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر وليشهد عذابهما طائفة من المؤمنين الزاني لا ينكح إلا زانية أو مشركة والزانية لا ينكحها إلا زان أو مشرك وحرم ذلك على المؤمنين والذين يرمون المحصنات ثم لم يأتوا بأربعة شهداء فاجلدوهم 80 جلدة ولا تقبلوا لهم شهادة أبدا وأولئك هم الفاسقون إلا الذين تابوا من بعد ذلك وأصلحوا فإن الله غفور رحيم والذين يرمون أزواجهم ولم يكن لهم شهداء إلا أنفسهم فشهادة أحدهم 4 شهادات بالله إنه لمن الصادقين والخامسة أن لعنة الله عليه إن كان من الكاذبين ويدرأ عنها العذاب أن تشهد 4 شهادات بالله إنه لمن الكاذبين والخامسة أن غضب الله عليها إن كان من الصادقين ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته وأن الله تواب حكيم.
On the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses a very significant and a very difficult moment from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, known as Waqi'atul Ifk or Hadithul Ifk. This was the event or the occasion on which some of the very evil, filthy people, they slandered and created a false rumor and slandered our mother, the mother of the believers, Aisha as-Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the daughter of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the sister of Asma, and the great teacher of our ummah. They slandered our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and made up a terrible, terrible, nasty rumor about her and started to turn the rumor mill and spread all these falsehoods about her. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this and tells us about it. And this, the hadith detailing the events and the details of it, is one of the lengthiest narrations in the books of hadith, Hadithul Ifk, narrated by Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha herself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, He exonerates our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, subhanaka hadha buhtanun azim. This was a great falsehood and lie and a very terrible thing that occurred. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us on this next page that when it comes to rumors and gossip and falsehoods and slander of people, dhanna al-mu'minuna وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا وَقَالُوا هَذَا إِفْكٌ مُبِينٌ. True believers do not engage in this kind of nastiness. True believers do not engage in this kind of lowly conversation. When they hear rumors and gossip and slander of people, they turn away from it and they say, this is a slander and I have nothing to do with it. We only assume the best of one another. And there's a very important lesson. Yes, that was our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So of course she was innocent of any kind of slander that they made towards her, and Allah exonerated her. But in general, the lesson that we learn from this is that anytime there is this kind of rumoring and gossiping and slandering and talking about nasty, filthy things about people, we steer clear of it. We have nothing to do with it, and we only engage in good and positive conversation. Go ahead.
إن الذين جاءوا بالإفك عصبة منكم لا تحسبوه شرا لكم بل هو خير لكم لكل امرئ منهم ما اكتسب من الإثم والذي تولى كبره منهم له عذاب عظيم لولا إذ سمعتموه ظن المؤمنون والمؤمنات بأنفسهم خيرا وقالوا هذا إفك مبين لولا جاءوا عليه بأربعة شهداء فإذ لم يأتوا بالشهداء فأولئك عند الله هم الكاذبون ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته في الدنيا والآخرة لمسكم فيما أفضتم فيه عذاب عظيم إذ تلقونه بألسنتكم وتقولون بأفواهكم ما ليس لكم به علم وتحسبونه هينا وهو عند الله عظيم ولولا إذ سمعتموه قلتم ما يكون لنا أن نتكلم بهذا سبحانك هذا بهتان عظيم يعظكم الله أن تعودوا لمثله أبدا إن كنتم مؤمنين ويبين الله لكم الآيات والله عليم حكيم إن الذين يحبون أن تشيع الفاحشة في الذين آمنوا لهم عذاب أليم في الدنيا والآخرة والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته وأن الله رؤوف رحيم.
In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the aftermath of this particular incident. And that's the thing that we also learn a lesson from, is that when something terrible like this happens in a community, it's not just that it blows over, it leaves a wake and a trail of damage and disaster in its wake. It leaves a trail of just broken hearts and broken people behind. And it causes a lot of damage in the community. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses one particular scenario, one situation that occurred in the aftermath of this slander of our mother Aisha as-Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, and that was her father Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Her father, one of the closest friends and believers and confidants to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the first of the believers, one of the most virtuous people after the prophets that has ever walked the face of this earth. He had a family member whom he was supporting and providing financial aid and assistance to, because this family member had migrated from Mecca to Medina and was dealing with difficult financial situations. And so he was financially assisting him. And this family member that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was supporting and helping, unfortunately, he was a believer. He was in the community of the Muslims. But unfortunately and tragically, he got caught up in the rumors. He got caught up in the conversations. He got caught up in the discussions. And in the aftermath, when Allah exonerated Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and all of this came to light, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was very hurt. And he said, "You know what? I swear I'm not going to help this person anymore." Now, very honestly, based on conventional wisdom and logic, that seems like a completely reasonable, approach. That somebody did something so hurtful, somebody betrayed me so terribly, I'm not going to try to destroy them, but at the same time, I'm not going to help them anymore either. And while that might seem completely reasonable to us, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that people of virtue, number one, good people, and number two, people that Allah has blessed with financial resources, they have a greater responsibility. And it is not appropriate for them to swear that they will not help people who need their help. And then Allah said, rather what you need to do is وَلْيَعْفُوا, let it go, وَلْيَصْفَحُوا, and overlook it. And Allah gives us the motivation. Why? أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. The golden principle. If you want Allah to forgive you, you got to learn to be forgiving to people. If you want Allah to have mercy on you, you got to learn to be merciful to people. If you want Allah to be gracious and generous with you, you're going to have to learn to practice a little graciousness and a little generosity with people as well. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Because Allah is the ever-forgiving, the ever-merciful. We all need His forgiveness. We all need His mercy. We can all stand to practice a little more forgiveness and a little bit more mercy in our personal lives. And inshallah, we will receive the mercy and the forgiveness of Allah.
Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tattabi'u khutuwati ash-shaytan. Wa man yattabi' khutuwati ash-shaytan fa innahu ya'muru bil fahsha'i wal munkar. ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته ما زكى منكم من أحد أبدا ولكن الله يزكي من يشاء والله سميع عليم ولا يأتل أولو الفضل منكم والسعة أن يؤتوا أولي القربى والمساكين والمهاجرين في سبيل الله وليعفوا وليصفحوا ألا تحبون أن يغفر الله لكم والله غفور رحيم إن الذين يرمون المحصنات الغافلات المؤمنات لعنوا في الدنيا والآخرة ولهم عذاب عظيم يوم تشهد عليهم ألسنتهم وأيديهم وأرجلهم بما كانوا يعملون يومئذ يوفيهم الله دينهم الحق ويعلمون أن الله هو الحق المبين الخبيثات للخبيثين والخبيثون للخبيثات والطيبات للطيبين والطيبون للطيبات أولئك مبرؤون مما يقولون لهم مغفرة ورزق كريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تدخلوا بيوتا غير بيوتكم حتى تستأنسوا وتسلموا على أهلها ذَٰلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ.
On the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very foundationally and fundamentally, He instructs us about what we alluded to earlier, and that is the very central, fundamental concept of haya, modesty, decency, morality, integrity, and good proper conduct and behavior. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us in regards to that. And the very first thing Allah tells us is, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first of all tells us that both men and women have a responsibility to establishing the modesty and the decency and the morality that needs to be there in a Muslim community and in society. It is not just a burden of men or not just a burden of women. It is a collective effort made by both men and women. And the very first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us is that there are means and certain gateways to then falling into very severely bad behavior. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before he even tells us, يَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ, which is a euphemism in the Qur'an for not engaging in illicit sexual behavior. Before that, Allah says, يَغْضُوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ. They should lower their gazes. They should lower their gazes. They should not ogle and eye one another. They should not look at inappropriate things. And from that, the scholars explain all other kinds of like preliminary behavior that leads to more problematic behavior. All of that needs to be managed and watched and curbed. Not looking where you're not supposed to look. Not saying things you're not supposed to say. Not engaging in discussions and conversations of an inappropriate nature. And that is a preventative measure. So number one, this is the responsibility of both men and women. Number two, that learning to stop way before you actually fall into the major sin, and to look out for the warning signs that come way before you fall into the sin. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically also in this next passage speaks about the very important fundamental Quranic injunction. And anything that is very clearly and conclusively stated within the Quran is an absolute ruling, and it is not something that is up for debate and discussion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the covering of women, that I understand that different people are at different levels of faith and practice and spirituality, and everyone is working their way towards bettering themselves. That is one subject, but we should not conflate it with then having to alter and change what the Quran actually says. The Quran says that there is a particular dress code for believers, and that the covering of women, the head covering of women, that is so hotly debated and contested in today's world, that is actually a conclusive ruling that we get from the Quran. May Allah guide us all to practice the Quran and to implement and live in accordance with the Quran.
فإن لم تجدوا فيها أحدا فلا تدخلوها حتى يؤذن لكم وإن قيل لكم ارجعوا فارجعوا هو أزكى لكم والله بما تعملون عليم ليس عليكم جناح أن تدخلوا بيوتا غير مسكونة فيها متاع لكم والله يعلم ما تبدون وما تكتمون قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم ذلك أزكى لهم إن الله خبير بما يصنعون وقل للمؤمنات يغضضن من أبصارهن ويحفظن فروجهن ولا يبدين زينتهن إلا ما ظهر منها وليضربن بخمرهن على جيوبهن ولا يبدين زينتهن إلا لبعولتهن أو آبائهن أو آباء بعولتهن أو أبنائهن أو أبناء بعولتهن أو إخوانهن أو بني إخوانهن أو بني أخواتهن أو نسائهن أو ما ملكت أيمانهن أو التابعين غير أولي الإربة من الرجال أو الطفل الذين لم يظهروا على عورات النساء ولا يضربن بأرجلهن ليعلم ما يخفين من زينتهن وتوبوا إلى الله جميعا أيها المؤمنون لعلكم تفلحون.
On the next page, we will come across a very, very beautiful, powerful verse of the Quran, known as Ayat al-Nur, the verse of light and illumination, divine light and divine illumination. And it is actually the verse after which the surah is given its name. And this is one of the most beautiful verses of the entire Quran, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us such a breathtaking parable and example, an illustration of divine light and divine guidance and its role within our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that God is the illumination and the light of the heavens and the earth. The example of his light is like a niche or a corner carved out in a wall, in a room. And in that little corner that is carved out, you place a lamp or a lantern. And that lamp or lantern has a glass, and that glass is very clear. Like, unless you looked very closely, you wouldn't be able to notice that there's a glass there, that clear. And it is being fueled, that lamp or lantern is being fueled by the purest olive oil that you can imagine. Olive oil that sparkles. Very potent. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now imagine this scenario and how brilliant its illumination is and how well it lights up that entire room and how everyone in that room is benefiting so profoundly from the light coming from that particular corner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is the example of the light of faith, of iman, of the Quran, of the sunnah, of Islam that Allah gives us. Nurun ala nur, light upon light. And Allah guides to his light whomsoever he wills. And these are the examples that Allah gives to people so that we think, we reflect, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all. Go ahead.
وَأَنْكِحُوا الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّالِحِينَ مِنْ عِبَادِكُمْ وَإِمَائِكُمْ إن يكونوا فقراء يغنهم الله من فضله والله واسع عليم وليستعفف الذين لا يجدون نكاحا حتى يغنيهم الله من فضله والذين يبتغون الكتاب مما ملكت أيمانكم فكاتبوهم إن علمتم فيهم خيرا وآتوهم مما لله الذي آتاكم ولا تكرهوا فتياتكم على البغاء إن أردنا تحصنا لتبتغوا عرض الحياة الدنيا ومن يكرهن فإن الله من بعد إكراههن غفور رحيم ولقد أنزلنا إليك آيات مبينات ومثلا من الذين خلوا من قبلكم وموعظة للمتقين الله نور السماوات والأرض مثل نوره كمشكاة فيها مصباح المصباح في زجاجة الزجاجة كأنها كوكب دري يوقد من شجرة مباركة زيتونة لا شرقية ولا غربية يكاد زيتها يضيء ولو لم تمسسه نار نور على نور يهدي الله لنوره من يشاء ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس والله بكل شيء عليم في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال.
On the following page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the counter parable, the counter example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that those who disbelieve and who do not do righteous deeds, who do not accept the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't follow the guidance from Allah, their example is the example of someone who is lost in the desert, wandering about in the desert aimlessly and without food or water. And eventually that person starts to see some water in the distance. We're all familiar with this example. It's the example of a mirage. The person in that extreme heat and deprivation and dehydration looks out and sees water in the distance and reaches out, goes there. But when he gets there, he finds nothing. لَمْ يَجِدُوا شَيْئًا And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala switches the parable very quickly and he says, that's the example of them in life. They're always working towards the next payday, the next get rich quick scheme, the next, you know, luxury that they're seeking, and they keep on chasing after it, never really fully achieving any kind of contentment or satisfaction until they reach the end without any kind of satisfaction and fulfillment. And then they find themselves standing before God. And then they have to answer and they have to reckon to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what they've done. And Allah gives us another example, just to drive the point home, that another example of someone who's lost and ignores and does not take the guidance from God is like somebody who is in the darkness of night, in the middle of the ocean, with waves crashing in on them, being buried in clouds, even the sky is cloudy, so there's not even any kind of moonlight coming to that person. That person is buried under layers upon layers upon layers of darkness. The ocean, the waves, the nighttime, the clouds, they're buried under layers and layers of darkness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's so dark and they're so deprived of light that if they held their hand in front of their face, they could not actually see it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that's the example of someone who does not take the guidance from Allah, that وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ لَهُ لَهُ نُورًا, that if Allah has not given light to someone, فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ, there's no other place where they can get that light or illumination.
رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار ليجزيهم الله أحسن ما عملوا ويزيدهم من فضله والله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب والذين كفروا أعمالهم والذين كفروا أعمالهم كسراب بقيعة يحسبه الظمآن ماء حتى إذا جاءه لم يجده شيئا ووجد الله عنده فوفاه حسابه والله سريع الحساب أو كظلمات في بحر لجي يغشاه موج من فوقه موج من فوقه سحاب ظلمات بعضها فوق بعض إذا أخرج يده لم يكد يراها ومن لم يجعل الله له نورا فما له من نور ألم تر أن الله يسبح له من في السماوات والأرض والطير صافات كل قد علم صلاته وتسبيحه والله عليم بما يفعلون ولله ملك السماوات والأرض وإلى الله المصير ألم تر أن الله يسجي سحابا ثم يؤلف بينه ثم يجعله ركاما فترى الودق يخرج من خلاله وينزل من السماء من جبال فيها من برد فيصيب به من يشاء ويصرفه عن من يشاء يكاد سنا برقه يذهب بالأبصار.
After all of these very beautiful explanations, parables, metaphors, and after all of this instruction and guidance, and engaging us intellectually and emotionally and spiritually, there ultimately does come a point where, as they say, you got to put your money where your mouth is, right? You got to walk the talk. And that is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls upon us with in the following page, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, إِنَّمَا كَانَ قَوْلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ أَنْ يَقُولُوا, that ultimately when the believers are being constantly called to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to let God and His Messenger dictate their affairs, there does come a point in the time where they have to now live up to it. And they've had time to think about it, reflect on it, ponder on it, believe in it, practice it. And now it comes time to do it. And that is what? سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We heard, we listened, and we obeyed. That there has to be that seriousness at some point about practicing the religion and taking this instruction from Allah very seriously.
يقلب الله الليل والنهار إن في ذلك لعبرة لأولي الأبصار والله خلق كل دابة من ماء فمنهم من يمشي على بطنه ومنهم من يمشي على رجلين ومنهم من يمشي على أربع يخلق الله ما يشاء إن الله على كل شيء قدير لقد أنزلنا آيات مبينات والله يهدي من يشاء إلى صراط مستقيم ويقولون آمنا بالله وبالرسول وأطعنا ثم يتولى فريق منهم من بعد ذلك وما أولئك بالمؤمنين وإذا دعوا إلى الله ورسوله ليحكم بينهم إذا فريق منهم معرضون وإن يكن لهم الحق يأتوا إليه مذعنين أفي قلوبهم مرض أم ارتابوا أم يخافون أن يحيف الله عليهم ورسوله بل أولئك هم الظالمون إنما كان قول المؤمنين إذا دعوا إلى الله ورسوله ليحكم بينهم أن يقولوا سمعنا وأطعنا وأولئك هم المفلحون ومن يطع الله ورسوله ويخشى الله ويتقه فأولئك هم الفائزون وأقسموا بالله جهد أيمانهم لئن أمرتهم ليخرجن قل لا تقسموا طاعة معروفة إن الله خبير بما تعملون.
In the following page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses a very serious reality of the life of this world and the community of believers, the Muslims, all around the world. That when we look around the world and we see Muslims in suffering, in oppression, in persecution, and in very, very difficult and terrible situations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to us and tells us about how to remedy that and how to come out of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that God promises those who believe and then strive to do righteous deeds, that He will give them sovereignty upon the earth as He gave to the people before them, and He will help them establish, and He will establish their religion, the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has approved of, and Allah will change their fear into security. Allah will change their fearful situation into a secure situation. But Allah gives the prerequisites for that, and that is that number one, they must believe and strive to do good deeds. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say they establish prayer, they give charity, and they are constantly obedient to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that will lead them to success, and that will lead them to dignity and respectability as a community upon this earth.
قُلْ أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْهِ مَا حُمِّلَ وَعَلَيْكُمْ مَا حُمِّلْتُمْ وَإِنْ تُطِيعُوهُ تَهْتَدُوا وَمَا عَلَى الرَّسُولِ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينُ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وليمكنن لهم دينهم الذي ارتضى لهم وليبدلنهم من بعد خوفهم أمنا يعبدونني لا يشركون بي شيئا ومن كفر بعد ذلك فأولئك هم الفاسقون وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأطيعوا الرسول لعلكم ترحمون لا تحسبن الذين كفروا معجزين في الأرض ومأواهم النار ولبئس المصير يا أيها الذين آمنوا ليستأذنكم الذين ملكت أيمانكم والذين لم يبلغوا الحلم منكم 3 مرات من قبل صلاة الفجر وحين تضعون ثيابكم من الظهيرة ومن بعد صلاة العشاء 3 عورات لكم ليس عليكم ولا عليهم جناح بعدهن طوافون عليكم بعضكم على بعض كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ
The section that we're in right now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to us about some very interesting different rulings. For instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about not entering into a person's residence without permission, and even within a residence, not going into a person's private area without permission. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to us about teaching our children on how to seek permission, and as they get older and older, teaching them more and more etiquette and limitations in terms of, you know, coming into our bedroom or our private quarters where the parents are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, you know, visiting each other's homes and how much, you know, access and how much free access rather there should be in visiting the homes of other people, family members and extended family members and so on and so forth. And all of this pertains to, all of this relates to the theme and the central importance of privacy in Islam. Privacy, again, going back to, we said the surah deals with the matters of morality and decency and modesty and dignity, and privacy is an important matter of that, is an important part of that, that we need to have privacy, permission, and etiquette in terms of, you know, each other's private spaces, and even within a home, learning to have boundaries, learning to have etiquette, and learning to respect one another's privacy, even within the same household and the same home.
وَإِذَا بَلَغَ الْأَطْفَالُ مِنْكُمُ الْحُلُمَ فَلْيَسْتَأْذِنُوا كَمَا اسْتَأْذَنَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ والقواعد من النساء اللاتي لا يرجون نكاحا فليس عليهن جناح أن يضعن ثيابهن غير متبرجات بزينة وأن يستعففن خير لهن والله سميع عليم ليس على الأعمى حرج ولا على الأعرج حرج ولا على المريض حرج ولا على أنفسكم أن تأكلوا من بيوتكم أو بيوت آبائكم أو بيوت أمهاتكم أو بيوت إخوانكم أو بيوت أخواتكم أو بيوت أعمامكم أو بيوت عماتكم أو بيوت أخوانكم أو بيوت خالاتكم أو ما ملكتم مفاتحه أو صديقكم ليس عليكم جناح أن تأكلوا جميعا أو أشتاتا فإذا دخلتم بيوتا فسلموا على أنفسكم تحية من عند الله مباركة طيبة كذلك يبين الله لكم الآيات لعلكم تعقلون.
On the next page, Allah, which is the concluding page of this surah, surah number 24, surah An-Nur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about something very, very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us guidance in regards to the respect of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That how to speak about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with reverence and respect. And when we speak about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we address the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we reference the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we should do it with respect and not talk about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like how we talk about one another. Meaning in how we address one another, with the kind of informality and casualness that we address one another. When I talk to Ahmed, I just say, hey Ahmed, what's going on Ahmed? Hey Ahmed said, Ahmed this. But when I speak about the Prophet ﷺ, I should speak with reverence and respect. That address him with his titles. The Prophet of God, the Messenger of Allah, Rasulullah, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And then whenever we speak about him, we always send peace and blessings and salutations upon him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That this is a very important part of the etiquette of the believer. Go ahead.
إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله وإذا كانوا معه على أمر جامع لم يذهبوا حتى يستأذنوا إن الذين يستأذنونك أولئك الذين يؤمنون بالله ورسوله فإذا استأذنوك لبعض شأنهم فأذن لمن شئت منهم واستغفر لهم الله إن الله غفور رحيم لا تجعلوا دعاء الرسول بينكم كدعاء بعضكم بعضا قد يعلم الله الذين يتسللون منكم لواذا فليحذر الذين يخالفون عن أمره أن تصيبهم فتنة أو يصيبهم عذاب أليم. ألا إن لله ما في السماوات والأرض قد يعلم ما أنتم عليه ويوم يرجعون إليه فينبئهم بما عملوا والله بكل شيء عليم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تبارك الذي نزل الفرقان على عبده ليكون للعالمين نذيرا الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض ولم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك وخلق كل شيء فقدره تقديرا.
We've now started the 25th surah of the Quran, a very beautiful, powerful surah of the Quran called Surah Al-Furqan, the distinguisher between good and bad, right and wrong. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the first part of the surah, He tells us here about the magnificence of the Quran, that this Quran, it comes from the Lord of blessing, the one who is most blessed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this Quran is a source of great, profound blessing within our lives. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically calls the Quran, the book of Allah, He calls it Al-Furqan, the ultimate distinguishing force between good and evil, between right and wrong. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that this Quran was sent upon the chosen slave of Allah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that he could provide warning to all of humanity and all of mankind. And this Quran will always be the distinguishing force between good and bad, between right and wrong. Whenever we want to see what side of the issue we're on, look at your relationship with the Quran. What is your relationship with the Quran? Whenever you want to know whether you are doing what's right or doing what's wrong, compare your action, your mindset, your mentality, your behavior, your conduct, your philosophy. Compare it against what the Quran says, and you will always know whether you are on the right or you are on the wrong. Always refer back to the Quran.
واتخذوا من دونه آلهة لا يخلقون شيئا وهم يخلقون ولا يملكون لأنفسهم ضرا ولا يملكون لأنفسهم ضرا ولا نفعا ولا يملكون موتا ولا حياة ولا نشورا وقال الذين كفروا إن هذا إلا إفك افتراه وأعانه عليه قوم آخرون وأعانه عليه قوم آخرون فقد جاءوا ظلما وزورا وقالوا أساطير الأولين اكتتبها فهي تملى عليه بكرة وأصيلا قل أنزله الذي يعلم السر في السماوات والأرض إنه كان غفورا رحيما وقالوا ما لهذا الرسول يأكل الطعام ويمشي في الأسواق لولا أنزل إليه ملك فيكون معه نذيرا أو يلقى إليه كنز أو تكون له جنة يأكل منها وقال الظالمون إن تتبعون إلا رجلا مسحورا انظر كيف ضربوا لك الأمثال فضلوا فلا يستطيعون سبيلا تبارك الذي إن شاء جعل لك خيرا من ذلك جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار ويجعل لك قصورا بل كذبوا بالساعة وأعتدنا لمن كذب بالساعة سعيرا.
In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all the prophets that came before him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that all the prophets we sent before you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they all ate food, they all walked in the marketplaces. I mean, they were real people who lived in the real world. And the scholars explain that what this illustrates to us is our religion, Islam, the Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's approach to spirituality. We do not have monasticism within Islam. La rahbaniyata fil Islam. We are not monks. And we don't embrace that kind of a lifestyle. Rather, we live a lifestyle of practicality, pragmatism, and practical spirituality, where we find meaning and purpose in everything that we do. And we infuse the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into every single thing we do. There's a dua for entering your home. There's a dua for leaving your home. There's a dua for getting in your car, your transportation. There's a dua for going in the restroom. There's a dua for going to sleep. There's a dua for waking up. There's a dua for eating food. There's a dua for entering into the marketplace, going to work. And so we have a very practical lifestyle that we live, but we completely infuse it with meaning and purpose by bringing the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into everything we do. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us that here within this conclusion of the 18th juz. And so as a practical point and as a practical note, that yes, we are in the month of Ramadan, and Ramadan's a little bit of a special time because we have a very specialized schedule. But beyond the month of Ramadan as well, start thinking about and looking at how you can bring the remembrance of Allah into every aspect of your life and thereby bring beauty and spirituality and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into everything that you do. And that is a very practical way to live a spiritual life.
إذا رأتهم من مكان بعيد سمعوا لها تغيظا وزفيرا وإذا ألقوا منها مكانا ضيقا مقرنين دعوا هنالك ثبورا لا تدعوا اليوم ثبورا واحدا وادعوا ثبورا كثيرا قل أذلك خير أم جنة الخلد التي وعد المتقون كانت لهم جزاء ومصيرا لهم فيها ما يشاءون خالدين كان على ربك وعدا مسؤولا ويوم يحشرهم وما يعبدون من دون الله فيقول أأنتم أضللتم عبادي هؤلاء أم هم ضلوا السبيل قالوا سبحانك ما كان ينبغي لنا أن نتخذ من دونك من أولياء ولكن متعتهم وآباءهم حتى نسوا الذكر وكانوا قوما بورا فقد كذبوكم بما تقولون فما تستطيعون صرفا ولا نصرا ومن يظلم منكم نذقه عذابا كبيرا وما أرسلنا قبلك من المرسلين إلا إنهم ليأكلون الطعام ويمشون في الأسواق وجعلنا بعضكم لبعض فتنة أتصبرون وكان ربك بصيرا.
Before we conclude, once again, I want to thank Hafiz Ahmed for reciting for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him. May Allah reward you. It's greatly appreciated that, mashallah, you graced us with the beautiful recitation of the Qur'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you and make all of us amongst the people of the Qur'an, Ahlul Qur'an, hum ahlullahi wa khasatu. Jazakumullah khairan, barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum. And inshallah, before we conclude the program for tonight, once again, I wanted to acknowledge the support of our friends, our partners over at Helping Hand for the amazing work that they're doing. Please go to their website, hhrd.org, and check out the amazing work that they're doing during this month all around the world. Before, inshallah, I send you off for tonight, I had a very small, a very humble message and an appeal to make to you. Qalam is an institution that, through the knowledge of the religion, the Qur'an, and life of the Prophet ﷺ, is here to serve you. And during the month of Ramadan, we exert ourselves to be of service to the community and bring knowledge and the Qur'an into the life of the community. And then particularly during this trying, testing time, we doubled and tripled and quadrupled our efforts to be at the service of the community. What we're asking you now in the second half of this blessed month is to support Qalam and allow us to continue to serve you and serve all the people around the world and bring them the knowledge and the understanding of the Qur'an, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our beautiful religion. So I had a very humble appeal to make to you and to present, inshallah, before you. And that is that if you go to our website, if you go to qalamlive.com, that is the URL. QalamLive.com. Qalam, of course, you see how it's spelled. It's right there, live, L-I-V-E.com. If you go there, you'll see this page. Earlier today, we held a conference. Qalam is very blessed where we have a ton of knowledgeable scholars and instructors. And we brought them all together, and we regularly in our community would do conferences and programs for the whole community. Because everyone is restricted in terms of movement, we took this conference online, and we had a beautiful program earlier today where you got to hear from so many of our teachers and instructors and scholars, and it was a lovely program. If you go to QalamLive.com, you can watch the entirety of the program. It's going to be up there. It is for free. It's absolutely available and accessible to you, and you can go through it. Today was the day of the Battle of Badr. And so we talked about the story of Badr, and then we talked about how we can draw inspiration from Badr, and we can get strength to persevere through the difficulty we find ourselves in. And that is just the latest of the things that we are doing in order to serve you. So we ask you to support us. If you look there on that page, we have a very humble campaign that we're presenting before you. We have a goal of 25,000. We are less than 10,000. We are $9,940 away from reaching that goal. I want to ask each and every single one of you today to, inshallah, contribute yourself. QalamLive.com, forward that link in your WhatsApp groups, in your text message threads, to your friends.